Hey, I'm so excited for today. Are you excited to be in church this morning? Excited to be here. Who just loves the presence of the Lord? I love the presence of God. So thankful for the presence of the Lord. Jesus, even now, we just turn our affection to you. We turn our attention to you. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that the reading of Scripture, worship, tithes and offerings, it's all unto you, Lord. And I thank you, Jesus, that we are continuing something that's been happening since the establishment of the church. Lord, in Acts 2:42, it says that your people devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, fellowship, and prayer. And your church was multiplied from that day forward. And so, Lord Jesus, we're continuing something that started over 2,000 years ago. And we thank you, Jesus, that your church is alive. Your church is alive. Your church is well in America. And Lord, I pray that you would find a people here who celebrate the Lord, that you would find a people here who love your presence above all else. Lord, we're not in it for a program. We're in it for your presence. And so, Lord Jesus, we thank you. Would you rest in this place? Would you find a resting place here in Jesus' name? And everyone said, amen. Amen. So good. Hey, I'm excited. Thank you, Jared. Thank you, worship team. Give it up for worship team. So powerful today. So, so good. So good. And I want to just honor Marietta. Isn't that so beautiful? So amazing. And Marietta was with us this week teaching our students, teaching VSSM, VHSM, correct? So good. Where's our VHSM students at? Some of them are here today. Make some noise. Our high school students, you guys are incredible. But she taught prophetic art, how to do this. I don't know if anyone did it as good as you, though. I mean, that's Marietta. You got skills, okay? That's beautiful. And that prophetic word, who received that prophetic word this morning? And I'm going to kind of add on to that prophetic word a little bit this morning and just see what the Lord does. But I want to honor you in front of everyone here. Marietta lived in Holland, correct? And they lived right next to a Nazi camp, and she hid Jews in her home. She protected Jews in her home, and she is just a spirit-filled, amazing believer. And so I honor you. I honor you this morning. Can you just stand and honor her? We honor you and your husband. I believe it's your husband. And just bless you guys for loving Jesus. And yeah, you guys can be seated. But the Bible says this is good and perfect religion is taking care of widows and orphans and living undefiled from the world. And I want to just say this, whenever you take care of the marginalized, whenever you take care of those who are being mistreated, there is a blessing that comes on your life. And I really believe that the word that she gave, I don't know, you guys, that was a prophetic word for our church and for this region. I believe that that the river of the Holy Spirit is brushing through us and it will go through into the nations. Amen? And so I wanted to start by saying this, just for this word. I feel like I have three messages today, so we'll see what the Lord does, okay? But for this word, if you are here and in your heart you've prayed this prayer, here am I, send me. Anybody know that prayer that's in Isaiah chapter 6? If you've ever prayed that prayer, I want you to stand up right now. Here am I, send me. If you've ever prayed that prayer to be sent out into the nations, and I want you just to look around in this room right now. Look at all of these people who have prayed that prayer. And I want you just to do this now. If you have, if the Lord's ever put a people group or a nation in your heart, I want you just to raise your hand. A people group or a nation. Now look around at everybody in this room where the Lord has put a people group or a nation in your heart. And I want you to stay standing. Here's what I want to pray for this morning. I want to pray for a resurgence of that prayer. And I want to pray for a resurgence of that prayer, because I think sometimes in our routine, in our rhythm, in our busyness, we forget about the people that God first might have called us to. And maybe that passion that we once had to go to the nations has dwindled, but I feel like God is rekindling passion this morning to seek and save the lost. It says this in Luke 15, that Jesus leaves the 99 sheep that are found to go after the one sheep that is lost. And so that is Jesus's method of evangelism. Jesus's method of evangelism is, I don't want to just stay with the saved. I want to go to the lost. I want to seek and save that which is lost. And so I want to pray for you all this morning. And God is going to birth, I think, a resurgence in your heart to go into all the world. He didn't say some of the world. He said all the world, from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, that you would be a witness for him. So Lord, all over this room, I thank you, Jesus, for hearts that are after you and after your people. And Lord Jesus, I pray this morning that we would be your witnesses into all the world, that Holy Spirit, you would empower us, and that your river would flow in us and through us and to the nations, that you would open up doors that no man can shut, that you would open up doors into Africa, that you would open up doors into the Middle East, that you would open up doors all over the earth, and that we wouldn't have the fear of man, but we would walk in the fear of the Lord in boldness, empowered by your Spirit. And if you believe that, I want you just to shout amen in this place. So good. Give it up for Jesus. So good. You can be seated. I want to kind of continue on with this morning. And it was funny preparing this weekend. My wife was away, so it was just me with the kids. And which someone was like, oh no. No, it was awesome. I had a really good time with my kids. Okay, we had a blast. It was so much fun. But while I'm, you know, changing diapers and making food, I'm thinking about this weekend. And last night, I had like two messages that were in my heart. And as I was praying, they were both really good messages. To me, they were. I'm like, these are good right here. Like, I can't wait to preach this message. And one of them is on Mephibosheth. That's all I'll say. But I thought I was going to preach that this morning. And then the Lord, as I was preparing, was like, you're not preaching on any of that. And I'm like, Lord, it is Saturday night. Like, I'm the kind of guy, I don't know about you, Pastor Rutz and Pastor Lynn, I'm the kind of guy who likes to take time in the week to prepare to give you a word. Because what feeds me feeds you. So I want you to know this about me. I don't read my Bible to find a message. I'm not trying to search for scriptures to find a message. I'm preaching out of the overflow of what God's doing in my heart to you. So I hope you appreciate that. I'm not like, you know, what? Lord, help me get a message this weekend. That's not me. That would be crazy and terrible. No, but last night I feel like the Lord was like, what I have been talking to you about, I want you to share with the congregation. I want you to share with the church. And so, you guys ready? Ready for this? Someone's like, can you preach more like Joel Osteen? I'm just joking, just joking. A little bit happier. Happy Joel. I promise by the end of today, you're going to leave so encouraged. You're going to leave so blessed. And I want to really just unpack a burden that's in my heart that God's been really teaching me in this season. And I want to start with this. Revival begins in our homes. Revival, it can awaken here in this church, but revival for our church, and I believe, I believe for the church in America, is going to take place and go from our homes and how we treat our families. And there's something, when I was at, anyone heard of YWAM? Youth with a Mission. Anybody ever go to YWAM? Anybody here? So I had the privilege of going to, I've been there a couple times now, but the University of the Nations in Kona, where Lauren and Darlene Cunningham, who are the founders of YWAM, lived. And Lauren has now gone to be with the Lord. This year he went to be with the Lord. But, and that guy's crazy. He's traveled all over the world. He's been to every nation. He's incredible. When I was there with some pastors from Brazil, and I've been to Brazil. Anybody ever been to Brazil? I've been to this church in Brazil called Dunamis or Zion Church in São Paulo, Brazil, and my life got changed there. I've never met a more passionate people for Jesus. More than anywhere I've ever been, Brazilians are crazy for God. They are really radical. And so I'm in Kona, and I'm sitting down with this pastor who he was in Brazil, and now he's a church planter in America. And I sat down with him, and I was like, what do you feel like Jesus is doing in the church right now? What do you feel like is the message for this hour? And let me just say this for all the young people in the room. Whenever you have a chance to sit with someone who is older than you, ask questions. Ask questions. And so I asked this guy a question, and I'm like, hey, what do you feel like the Lord's doing? And he looks at me, and he says this. He says, Jonah, the ark, like Noah's ark, the ark of the end times. This is what he says. Catch this. The ark of the end times. How many people believe we're in the end times? Okay, we are now more than ever, just as getting more to the end, right? He says, the ark of the end times is the table. He says, the ark of the end times, where the church needs to focus the most in this season, is the table. What is he saying? He's saying, what happens around your table in your home when no one else is watching matters more than when everyone is watching. He is saying this. He's saying this. Who you are when no one else is there is the truest version of yourself. It's not the you that everyone sees on Sunday. Because you could come in here and give a, I'm doing great, brother, blessed and highly favored, all day long. But when you get home, are you manifesting Jesus or are you manifesting you? I'm smiling. I'm not mad at anybody. Are you manifesting Jesus or are you manifesting you? And have we ever thought that God actually wants to do a revival around your table with husband and wife and kids? Or do we just think that revival is coming to a church meeting that is charismatic? Can I just tell you what? You could speak in tongues, but gossip in English. Let me just say this. I love the Holy Spirit. I love the gifts of the Spirit. But you could prophesy and go home and curse your husband with your words. You could be so charismatic and so spiritual, but when you leave, we operate in the flesh with the people who need it the most. I love the things of the Spirit. Don't get me wrong, but I'm telling you right now, if it's not happening in our home, then we are just a clanging gong and a noisy cymbal. That's what the Bible says. You could speak with the tongues of men and angels, but if you have not love, you are an empty, noisy sound. I wish I could get back on these drums right now and just show you what a clanging cymbal sounds like. And everybody in this room would be like, Jonah, shut up! Did he just say that in church? Yes. Because all of you would be saying that. Be quiet with the cymbals. Be quiet. And that's what a lot of us, we can do, and myself included, we can do when we go, well, my spirituality, my Christianity really only happens here. And I want people to see how spiritual I am when I'm praying at the altar, but when I go home, Are you guys following this? When I go home, am I the same that I am here, or am I different when I go home? Do you know how weird that would be? I'm just going to throw myself under the bus, okay? So you guys are like, stop picking on me. I'll pick on myself. Do you know how weird it would be if what you see up here is not the same when I go home to my wife, with my wife and my kids, and they know that daddy preaches on Sunday and daddy says he loves Jesus publicly, but if they don't see that I love Jesus privately, this means nothing to them. Do you hear me? And we have so many. That is what hypocrite means. Do you know that's what hypocrite means? Hypocrite, the word, means a play actor. You know how to play the part, but you have no intimacy with the Lord. Therefore, you don't look like him when no one's looking, because you've learned religion, but you've not learned a person. And you've been in church. Are you guys okay? I'm smiling like Joel right now, okay? So you can't tell me. This guy only says hard things, okay? I'm saying that we are not supposed to study how to do church. We are disciples of a person. We are following a person. We're not following how to do church. We are following a person, and when I look at the person of Jesus around a table, he washes the feet of those who betray him. Around a table, which we're going to be receiving communion today, but around a table before he dies, he's not having a council session with his disciples going like, guys, I'm about to go and die. Can you guys pour into me? I'm having such a hard time. Literally, this is my final hour. In Jesus' final hour, Jesus says, boys, come here. Let me wash your feet. To Judas, the one who's going to betray him with a kiss, a false image of intimacy, a kiss. He washes Judas's feet. And you know, like, when someone does you wrong and you try and do the right thing? You know that feeling in your heart where you're like, come here, Judas, let me wash your feet. Get the bubbles out and you're just like, oh, Judas. And it's like you're trying to be nice and you're trying to manifest love, but all you have in your heart is contempt towards that person. None of that was in Jesus. None of that. He looks at Judas with the fullness of love in his heart for this man, hoping the best for this man. When Judas intentionally wants to do the worst to the King of heaven and earth. And Jesus sits down with his disciples, washes their feet, and has a meal with them. Literally says to them, I am giving you my broken body and my poured out blood so that you can have a new and glorious life. Come on, is this good this morning? I feel like this is good. I want to say this and kind of backtrack a bit. So who went to men's retreat? Any men in here that went to men's retreat? It was so powerful. Come on, men, if you went to men's retreat, lift up a shout in this place. Ooh, ooh. My men, let's go. So we went to men's retreat. We had a guest speaker. You guys heard him, Jeff Calty, Pastor Jeff from Bethel. And Jeff, for 2 days, preached about marriage. And all the ladies were like, amen, okay? Yeah, so he preached about marriage for 2 days, and it was so challenging, and I believe that it wasn't just a message for our men, it's a message for our church. And here's why I believe that. So we got done. I was absolutely rocked by Jeff's message. And then that next weekend, I went to Washington to preach at a men's retreat. And I literally was like, I'm just going to copy Jeff. Because that message was so good. I can't copy his story, but I feel like these men need to hear about revival in their homes, healthy marriages, all this stuff. So I get to Washington, and my parents live in the Tacoma area, so I stayed with them. And when I get there, we're having dinner, and my stepdad goes, hey, Jonah, did you lose a ring? And I was like, what are you talking about? And he was like, I'm asking, did you ever lose a ring at our, they have a vacation home in Palm Desert, which is, hey, amen for that, you know? He's like, did you ever lose a ring in Palm Desert? And I was like, my wedding ring? Like, in our first year of marriage, we went on a trip to Palm Desert, and I'm getting on the plane to go home, and I could not find this ring. My hand is no ring on my finger, and I'm just like, no! Anybody ever have that feeling where you're like, oh my gosh, my wife is going to kill me? Like, no, she wouldn't. She would never do that. But I literally was like, I cannot believe I lost my ring. And I never found it. I never found this ring until, this was 5 years ago. I have not had this ring for 5 years. And my stepdad goes, did you lose a ring that's black with rose gold in it? And I was like, yeah, that's my wedding ring. And he's like, I have your wedding ring. And I'm like sitting on the couch and I'm like, whoa, this is so cool. Let me check, like bring it down here. And inside of my wedding ring, it says engraved in it, I love you, God's best. And the reason it says that is because when Alexis and I were dating and when we were engaged, I struggled with comparison. I struggled with comparison with people who were in ministry, and some of the men in here are like, that's the most unmanly thing I've ever heard. No, I struggled with comparison, and Alexis would tell me all the time, Jonah, you are God's best. She would prophesy over me, you are God's best. He loves you. I love you. You are God's best. And so this ring meant a lot to me, but I have not had it for 5 years, and now I have it. Come on, somebody. I have my wedding ring back. And so I go and I preach at this men's retreat wearing my wedding ring that I haven't had for 5 years. And I talked about marriage and I talked about revival in the home, and it was powerful. But here's what I want to say today. The Lord last night reminded me of all of this, and he said to me, Jonah, I want to restore marriages in this church. Yeah, you could clap for that. That's a good thing. He wants to restore marriages in this church. And he doesn't want to just restore marriages. God actually, I feel this for this church. I believe that this church, and I'm prophesying now, will be known as a church that builds healthy families. This church will be known as a greenhouse where if you came in with a broken marriage, you will leave with a whole marriage. If you came in and your family felt broken and beat down, in this place, it's like a greenhouse, your family will be restored and revival will come to your home. Because we don't just come to church, you guys, to click off the ticket to say, I'm a Christian and I went to church this weekend. No, we come to church to get transformed and to look more like Jesus. And where does it matter most? Where does it matter most? In your home. Jesus said this, go and be my witness in Jerusalem. Stop right there. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know what? I have a neighbor that sleeps with me every night. She's in bed with me. She's at home with me, doing the dishes with me. If I don't love her, what point is this? I mean, I'm just going to say it plain this morning. If I don't love her, if I don't love my kids with the love of Jesus, if I don't minister to them before I minister to you, this doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And God in this hour is saying the end time arc, what is going to carry the church to the end times, is the table in your home. It's what takes place in your home. And if you're not married, guess what? This applies to you because maybe you will be, praise God. Hope I'm prophesying you will be, okay? Or if you're not married in here, healthy marriages strengthen the church. Don't you guys want to be in a church where there is strong, healthy families and healthy marriages where you can go to someone in here and be like, can I get your advice on mothering? Can I get your advice on parenting? Can I get your advice on how to love my wife well? And I'm going to say some things and then we're going to receive communion together. Are you guys okay? So in Matthew 20, 25 through 28, Jesus says this, I did not come to be served. I came to serve and to offer my life as a ransom for many. Listen, men in here, Jesus did not come to be served by his bride. He came to serve her and offer his life as a ransom for many. This is Jesus. And if you're wondering, you know, let me just read this. Isaiah 54, verse 4 says this, for your maker is your husband. For your maker is your husband, the Lord, Yahweh, the Lord of hosts is his name. Your redeemer is the Holy One of Israel, and he is called the God of the whole earth. You know what I think is interesting? That God is called a husband and a father. You guys, I'm so excited about this. Talk back to me if you agree, okay? Is God called a husband and a father? Yes, he is. Why then do we treat him like a president? Why then do we treat him like something that he's not when God is all about a family? Isaiah 54 says, your creator, your maker is your husband. And in Matthew chapter 6, he says this, pray, our Father who art in heaven, not our president, not our principal, not our dictator, our Father who is in heaven. To Jesus, this is all about the Father and his family. It's not about God establishing some religious institution. It's about him including people in a family and him teaching people how to do family well. Promise. Promise that's true. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. You guys okay? We're going to do Ephesians for the rest of this morning. I love the Word of God. And this is what Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 said, 1 verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Come on, that's good. You have every spiritual blessing. That's good news. That's past tense as well. And it says this, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him, and in love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely bestowed on us in Jesus. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. I want you guys to go back up to verse 3, or verse 4, actually. So verse 4, it says, just as he chose us, you're chosen. You're chosen this morning. In him before the foundation of the world. And here's what I want to say. Before God had a plan to make the earth, he had a plan to make you. The reason God actually created the earth was to put a family there that he can interact with. That's why the next verse is, he's saying, he chose you to be adopted into his family. You are not just a Christian, you're a child of God. You're not just a Christian. You're a son or a daughter. You have a seat at the table. You're not on the outside looking in. Jesus wants to pull up a chair for you and say, sit right here. Let me love you. You're a part of this family. You're not on the outside looking in. And I want to just say something that Jeff Calty said to us. He said this to the men here. He said, the true test of our leadership is not what we do outside of the home, it's what we do in the home. The true test of leadership is not what we do outside of the home, it's what we do inside of the home. I was talking with Jeff, I'm just for the sake of time, I'm not going to read Ephesians chapter 5, but when I was talking with Jeff, if you know Ephesians chapter 5, it tells husbands to love their wives as Christ loves the church. So what did Jesus do for the church? He died. Husbands, you're called to die. We always start and we go like, wives, submit to your husbands. Yeah, that's the first part of that verse. And then Paul goes, yeah, but husbands, they submit, but you die. You die to yourself, you die to your desires, you die to your dreams. What? To serve her dreams, to exalt her, to lift her up. And this is what Jeff Calty said to me. He said, Jonah, if Jesus treated the church the same way that most of us treat our wives, we would have a different religion. But our call, and I'm not saying that to bash a husband in here, like, oh my gosh, why did I come to church today? Like, this is the worst day to come to church. Your wife's kicking you. It's like, no. I'm saying this to encourage you and to show you that Jesus, men, you are called to represent Jesus to your wives. And why, husband and wives, this is what we do here in marriage. We are called to reflect the relationship that we have with the Lord to the world. I believe this, that healthy marriages and healthy families preach the gospel to a lost and fallen world. They actually preach. My marriage preaches to people who don't know Jesus. Because they look and they go, wait, you can have marriage like that? You can have family like that? You can love your kids like that? I'm like, yeah, apart from Jesus, it's impossible. But with Jesus, all things are possible. Come on, somebody. Are you excited? It's like, you know, I hope that you want the best marriage that you could possibly have. I hope that you would want to love your kids like never before. And so I want to end with this, and then we're going to receive communion today. And I'm going to share something kind of personal, and it might be a little bit weird, but I'm just going to share it, okay? So, when I was in third year at Bethel, I was coming towards the end of my third year, interning for a guy named Chris Overstreet, and my brother calls me and he goes, hey, our nanny, her name's Alexis, is coming to Bethel because she wants to see if she wants to go to first year at Bethel. So when she comes, can you just like show her around? And I'm like, I can totally do that. I could totally just show her around, you know? And so Alexis comes, and I think it was just for like 2 or 3 days. So she comes to BSSM and to Sunday service, and I was scheduled for that service to be doing baptism. It was Baptism Sunday. And so I broke the rules, you guys. She didn't have a name badge. I took her in the back at Bethel Church, and I was like, you're just going to be with me all the whole night, okay? Just be with me. Going to show you how they do baptisms, all this stuff. Make sure that you have a good time here. And so we got to know each other a little bit better. And what was so amazing is she was always with my family. Alexis was always watching my niece, River, and always hanging out with our family, which is so cool. And so we went to Sunday service. And then afterwards, we went with a friend to Habit Burger. Hallelujah for burgers. And got to hang out, got to know each other more. And I was like, man, that girl is so cool. Like, she's beautiful. She knows her identity. She's just amazing. And I was not dating. I didn't want to date anyone when I was at the School of Ministry. And we got to the end of kind of where graduation was happening. And a week after Alexis left Reading to go back to Washington, I had a really crazy dream. And this is not normal for me to have a dream like this, but I want to share this with you guys today. And I shared this at men's retreat. So men, you kind of know where I'm going with this. But I had this dream that a guy who looked like Legolas from Lord of the Rings, come on, any Lord of the Rings fans in here? Legolas comes up to me in this dream, no bow and arrow, he has a scroll in his hand. And he comes up to me and he says, Jonah, I have a message for you. And I was like, sweet man, hand that over. I grab this scroll and I unwrap this piece of paper and it's a prophetic word. And I'm reading this word and I'm like, dude, this word is so good. Oh my goodness. Whoever's future this is a bright future. And at the bottom of the scroll was a picture of Alexis's face. My wife's face was at the bottom, and at the time we weren't dating at all, but it was a picture of her face. And I rolled up the piece of paper and I was like, why are you giving me this? This has nothing to do with me. This has everything to do with not my wife. This has everything to do with Alexis. Give it to Alexis. And he says, no, this has everything to do with you because this is the one for you. And I go, I do not believe you. I literally said that. I don't believe you. I'm not dating anybody, okay? And I turn around and 30 other people who look just like this Legolas start chanting and cheering. They go, she's the one, she's the one, she's the one. And I wake up from my dream and I turn over to my roommate. His name's Austin Chappelle. I turned over to Austin and I was like, dude, I just had a dream about my niece's nanny. And this was the dream. And he looks at me and he says, dude, you had bad Taco Bell last night. I don't know about that. That was bad Crunchwrap Supreme, bro. And so then I call my brother and I was like, Jacob, I had a dream about your nanny. Can I tell you the dream? And I tell him the dream and my brother goes, you would be a fool not to pursue this girl. She's the only one that we trust our daughter with. And so when I went home, she was, like I said, always around. She was at my birthday. She gave me prophetic art for my birthday and had a prophetic word in it. She's like, you're going to raise the dead and all this stuff. And I was like, okay, this is my wife. This is my wife. And I didn't tell her the dream until I think we were engaged and I told you the dream. And obviously we're married. It's been the best thing ever. Being married to you is the best thing that's ever happened to me outside of Jesus. I love you so much. And when I was at men's retreat, the Lord reminded me of this dream. And he said this to me. He said, Jonah, I gave you that dream to steward your wife and the call that I've put on her life. It wasn't just to tell me that she's the one, even though I ended up believing that. It was to actually show me, lay your dreams down to make her dreams come true. Husbands, treating your wife like God treats the church is lifting her up, not putting her down. Jesus says this, or it says this, Paul says this, Ephesians chapter 5, he says that God washes the church through the word of God. Our words to our wives, and wives, you also need to apply this as well. Our words have the ability to wash them, to make them look like all they were created to be. And so I'm preaching this today, again, like I said, not to put a burden on you, not to put a burden on your marriage, but repentance means this, change your mind. Repentance is the word metanoia. And I think some of us, if we're not careful, we can just continue doing things like we've always done them when God is calling us all higher. Amen? We're not going from bummer to bummer or worse to worse. We're going from glory to glory. And I want a marriage and I want a family that represents Jesus to the world. That when people come into my home, they go, whoa, the presence of God is here. I feel Jesus in your home because my home is my Jerusalem. And I want the Holy Spirit poured out in my home just as much as I want to pour it out here, just as much as I want to pour it out in our cities. But if it takes place in my home, do you know this too? Let me say this one last thing, and then we're going to take communion, okay? My kids, you know what the Bible says about children? They are arrows in your quiver. Jay, you're laughing at me. So they're arrows in your quiver. Let me tell you this. They are little disciples. They are your little disciples. Listen, before I disciple anyone else, I have a job to disciple my kids. Because my little cruise, let me tell you what, my little cruise is going to change the world. And I'm going to love him and be a present father, and I'm going to spend time with him. I'm going to go to his games. I'm going to be with him. Why? Because his life matters. And he needs to see a dad who loves the Lord and who also will spend time with him to make his dreams come true. Being a father, being a husband, I know I'm just talking to dads. Why? Because I am one. So it's just let it happen. But wives, you'll get something out of this. Doing this for my kids is the greatest thing I could ever do. Why? Because their dreams to me now matter more than mine. I used to think that I just wanted to preach crusades the rest of my life. That was my dream. You know Reinhard Bonnke? Anyone know Reinhard Bonnke? Reinhard Bonnke is my hero. Still to this day, she's like, mine too. I think I've talked about this, but he saw 76 million people saved for 76 years of being alive. So he saw a million people saved for every year he was alive. He is my hero. But Reinhard Bonnke, at the end of his life, when they asked him, would you do anything different? He said, I would have spent more time with my family. Billy Graham said the same thing. At the end of his life, Billy, you guys know Billy Graham, right? What would you have done if you would have done anything different? Is there any regrets? He says, the one thing that I regret is I spent more time with the crowds and I could have spent more time with my kids. And he says, Billy says this, if I would have done it all over again, I would have poured into 10 and let 10 do what I did. Instead of his life and his ministry and his dreams being the dream, you know what my new dream is? To love. I'm going to just say it so you guys can hold me accountable. You're like, I'm going to hold you to that, Pastor. You can hold me to it. My new dream is to love my wife like Jesus loves the church. My new dream is to love my kids like God loves my kids. Because if Cruz does greater things than me, if Mercy does greater things than me, that's so worth it. That's so worth it to me. If I don't ever preach in front of millions, but my kid does, and I'll tell him, you better, hey, get off that platform and go love your wife, buddy. Okay? But I'm saying if Cruz does greater things than me, it's worth it because I'm not like Bill Johnson. I'm a first generation pastor. My family barely knows the Lord. My wife's family, she's a first-generation Christian. There's no one in her family that knows Jesus. And so for us, we're creating a foundation where it's like, this matters so much to me. And it needs to matter to our church. It needs to matter to you. It needs to matter to you like it matters to me. Don't you want just a pile of kids running through the sanctuary worshiping Jesus? Don't you want that? Don't you want a place where the young feel like they can worship God with all their hearts and they don't feel like religion is pressing in on them? I'm not saying that that's here. I'm just saying I've been in so many churches, you guys. A large part of my life has been itinerant preaching and traveling and speaking in so many churches, and I've seen it all. In my brother's church, it's crazy. I'm just going to say it. I'm not saying we need to do that here, but it's just crazy because I was so shocked when I was there. He's at a church in East Tennessee, Appalachian area, called The Altar. Their pastor was an ex-screamo Christian singer named Matty Montgomery. Okay, he literally scream preaches, Jesus love. No, he doesn't do that. But he in their church, I walk in, and the altar is kids running around during worship, and I'm just like, how do I even focus in this place? Kids are like, have gum in their hand, and they're like worshiping Jesus, and I'm just like, this is crazy. But I left And I also was like, that's so beautiful that these kids get to see their parents worship Jesus. These kids get to be in a place where it's safe and free for them to be all that they were created to be. And so I'm charging you parents, charging you grandparents, you have a part to play in the next generation. But it starts in our homes. And it means for us, there might be some things in our hearts that we need to repent of. There might be some things in our hearts that we need to shift and change. Thank you, Jesus. And I have one more thing, I promise I'm done. You guys have your communion cups? Okay. A couple years ago, I was reading a book called Becoming a King by Morgan Snyder. And in the book, Morgan says this. He says, I dare you to ask the Lord, what's the enemy's plan for my life? I thought that was the stupidest question ever. I was like, why would I ask the Lord that question? But I did it. I'm sitting on my couch in my home and I said, Lord, what is the enemy's plan for my life? And in a split second, I have a vision of my great-grandfather, my grandpa, my dad, and then me. And I saw an arrow go through them and it stopped here at me. And it was a generational sin that's taken place with all three of them. And it stopped at me. And I saw the arrow kind of like trying to get to me. And I heard the voice of the Lord say, Jonah, the arrow stops with you. And I want to release a word over you guys today before we receive communion. And it's this. Just because one generation did it doesn't mean it has to continue with you. The arrow of generational sin stops with your family, stops with your leadership, stops with you. Just because you saw someone do it a dysfunctional way doesn't mean you have to continue to do that. It stops with you in Jesus' name, amen? And so here's what I want you to do all over this room. We're gonna receive communion. And so before we do, if you're here and you did not receive one of these amazing cups, I want you just to raise your hand and we're gonna have ushers come by and bring some cups to you. Keep your hand raised until you get one. Keep your hand raised. We got Pastor Christy down here. We got Clint in the back. Raise your hand. Keep your hand raised. So good. So here's how we're going to receive communion today as we close. I had a picture, and this is why we kind of changed it up today. We were going to do it right after worship, but I had this picture of us taking communion with our families. And so that's what I want to do today. So if you're here, I want you just to stand to your feet with me. And I understand when doing stuff like this, it can feel uncomfortable, but I want to push the comfortability thing a little bit, okay? Because here's what we're going to do. We're going to receive communion with spouses, with family here today. And so what I want to have happen is I want you, before we receive his broken body, his blood, I want you to bless your spouse. I want you to pray for your spouse. I want you to bless your spouse. And if your spouse is not here, pray for them as you receive it. And if your kids are there, I want you to do it together as a family. Amen? And so I'm going to challenge you guys. And then I want to say one more thing. If you're not married, yeah, if you're not married, I'm praying for you. No, I'm just joking. If you're not married, I want you to receive communion communion there just with you. It's going to be great, you guys. But I want to say this before we do as well. How many of you guys have ever heard of Michael and Jessica Koulianos at Jesus Image? I was at this service where Jessica was preaching and Michael was leading communion. And before he led that communion moment, he goes down to receive communion with Jessica. And Jessica pulls his mic down. She says this, so this is not gossip. She says this. She says, "I'm not receiving communion until we make something right now." Jessica. And they were all, and this is Pastor Michael. So he goes down, she pulls the mic down, and he's like, "Whoa, what's going on?" And she says, "We've been bickering all morning, and we need to make that right before we come to the table of the Lord." And so they made that right. They kissed each other. Then they received communion. And so here's what I want to say. If the Holy Spirit puts something on your heart in that way to make something right with your family or your spouse before you receive this, by all means, go and do that. But I want you guys to start doing that, okay? So I want you to turn to your spouse, turn to your family, or if you're actually, do this. If you're with someone and it's a friend, but you're not, you don't have family around you or a spouse, turn to your friends, turn to the people around you, because we're going to do this together in community, amen? So turn to your spouse, and I want you just to bless them, encourage them, speak life over them. Let's do that now. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, if you're still blessing your family, still blessing your spouse, praying for your family, that's great. Keep doing that. Thank you, Jesus. We're just going to receive communion together if you haven't already. If you have, that's totally okay. It's totally okay if you already have. But in this space, Lord, we just thank you, Jesus, for every family that is present in this church, for every marriage in this church. And Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that at the table, you gave us your broken body, this bread. Lord, you tore the veil so that we could come into your presence. By your stripes, we are healed. And Lord Jesus, I just pray that all the things in our hearts that you need to illuminate and set us free from, I pray, Lord, that we would be liberated from it today. We thank you, Jesus, for your body that was given to us. Just receive his body today. Hopefully you're using the cup right. It's double-sided. I forgot to talk about that, Patty. Double-sided, and it's not that crazy rice wafer. Okay, it's an actual cracker, which is, thank you, Jesus. But, so you'll have to turn it over. Hopefully you don't spill Welch's all over your white shirt today, okay? But open up that cup. And Lord, we thank you for your blood that was shed, for our marriages, for our families, for this church, for the whole world, for the remission of sins. And Lord Jesus, right now, we receive all that you paid for on the cross, all that you paid for our families, for our marriages. And Lord, I just pray and prophesy in this room, marriages that look like heaven, marriages that look like heaven, marriages that are healthy, families that are healthy. And Lord, this might be a moment where family restoration even takes place, or maybe this is just the beginning of the journey. But Lord, I pray today that you would unlock something in this church where when marriages and families come in that feel broken, they get whole, they get restored. And Lord, we pray for that blessing to fall on this church in this place today. Lord, we love you and we receive your blood that was shed for us. Let's receive. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, can we just lift up a shout to Jesus in this place? Thank you, Lord. I want to invite our ministry team to come up to the front. If you're on our prayer team or ministry team, come up to the front. And I want to, as we go, if you need anyone to pray with you for healing in your body, anything, we would love to pray with you. But I just want to pray for you one more time and bless you as you go. Bless your families. Was this okay today? Preaching about healthy families. And so I want to just release this, that revival would come to our homes in Jesus' name. So Lord Jesus, I thank you that, Lord, we don't just want revival here in this church. We want revival in our homes. We want revival in our marriages. We want fresh starts in marriages with our kids. And so, Lord, we pray that you would make every wrong way right, every mountain made low, every valley made high. Lord, we just pray, God, whatever you want to do in our hearts and in our lives today, we pray that we would shine Jesus first in our homes, then to the world. Let the river begin in our homes, Jesus, and let it flow to the nations in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen, and amen. Come receive prayer again. If you need anything, any need, come receive prayer. We would love to pray for you this morning. We love you. Have an amazing Sunday.